Amen. Amen. Again, I forgot to do it earlier, but I thank God for Reverend Rose leading us in our morning worship. Amen. Our reading now is going to begin in Lamentations chapter 3, starting at verse number 52. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Those who were my enemies without cause have hunted me like a bird. They flung me alive into a pit and hurled stones on me. Water closed over my head. I said, I am lost. I called on your name, O Lord. From the depths of the pit, you heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help, but give me relief. You came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. You have taken up my cause, O Lord. You have redeemed my life. Amen. Now I want you to put your Bible, put your device down, and I want you to look at your neighbor. Don't touch your neighbor, but just look at your neighbor. Make eye contact with your neighbor and go on and give yourself a hug as you're looking at your neighbor. Let me give you, hug yourself as you're looking at your neighbor because you're making eye contact. Hug yourself, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm in
a good place.
Neighbor,
I'm in
a good place. Amen. You may be seen. We have entitled our message this morning, I am in a good place. I know some folk are scratching their head. Others are trying to figure it out. Where he's going with this? What's happening? And what is he talking about? Well, I want you to understand that this sermon that I'm preaching today is connected to what we preached about on last week. Now, for those who weren't here last week, I ain't going to preach the whole thing over, because if I do, we're going to be here for a minute, and that's not our intent. If you want to hear what we preached about on last week, buy the CD, see Tommy in the back, get the DVD, or you can just go on and listen to it on the internet. But all I want you to do is make sure you go and look at it, because last week's sermon was entitled, Own It. What we learned about the Hebrews, they were now in captivity. They were in Babylon. They were there, and the book of Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah, who in turn had shared with them during his time as the prophet. If you look at the book of Jeremiah, he talked about how the folk got to get it right, how they got to make changes. They didn't make changes. They are now in captivity. And what Jeremiah said is that y'all got to learn how to own it. You sinned. It was your sin that got you here. It wasn't nothing God did. It's what we did against God that caused them to be in that situation. Same thing is true about us today. There's some stuff that we did that caused us to be out of relationship with God and causes us to go through some stuff that we didn't have to go through because of the fact that we would not own it. You see, but what I want you to understand is that when you learn how to own what you've done and you return back to God and you lift up your heart and your hands, I want you to know that you are now in a... Oh, somebody working with me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You see, but as we understand that how this whole thing works and how God is moving and how God is blessing. Pastor, what do you mean a good place? Because what I'm seeing here, when I look at this scripture, because in verses 52 and 53 and 54, I don't see nothing good about what's going on. Because what Jeremiah is doing is making an illustration of what it felt like to be in the situation that they are. Or as some others would say, you can look at it metaphorically. You choose it. But what I want you to see, he talks about a bird that's being hunted by enemies for no cause. And as they're being hunted, we're seeing that they're caught. And as they're caught, they are thrown into the pit. And once they throw them into the pit, to ensure, Sister Sarah, that the birds don't come back out, you put stones on them, heavy stones, because if the stones are heavier than the bird can't move the stone, which means the bird is stuck there in the bottom of the pit. And if that in itself is not bad enough, what is happening is now water is starting to rise in the pit. And as the water is rising in the pit, what we're seeing is that the water is about to cover their head. And as it's about to cover their head, they say, I am lost. Have you ever felt like in your life that things have happened to you without any kind of just cause. Mm-hmm. Folk have thrown you in the pit. Folk have thrown stones on you in the pit. Folk have left you there to die. Folk thought you would never recover. Others talk about you, throw stuff on you, laugh at you. But have you ever been in the pit? And while you're in the pit, Sister Elaine, did you ever utter the words, I am lost? You see, it's interesting. Can we go and assess this statement? I am lost. The reason why you would say that you were lost, the definition of the word lost is that not knowing where to find something. Right? How many of us have said, I don't know where my keys are. I guess I must have lost. What does that mean? You don't know where they are. Right? So, but when we look at it in the context in which it is utilized in our scripture today, we're seeing the situation. We're seeing being thrown into the pit, covered in stones, water starting to rise. And now the statement that comes out of the mouths, I'm lost. Which in essence is saying, I can't find my way out. Have we ever been in situations like that? Where we just could not find our way out. No matter what we tried to do, no matter how we tried to think about it and fix it, it seemed that rather than stuff getting lighter on us, it seemed like it was getting heavier. And it seemed like now we're getting ready to start having to hold our breath because we're about to drown through the hell that we're going through. Do you see the scripture? Am I making this up? The other way they could have been using this word, I'm lost, is that I'm about to die. And there's nothing I can do about it. Because what's holding me down is stronger than I am. And what's about to cover me, the water, I can't breathe in it. So they are in a situation where some would consider them to be between a rock. Oh, somebody working with me. Anybody ever been between a and a hard place? You see, I want you to understand that. I want you to know that when the enemy gets us between a rock and a hard place, the enemy feels that he now got us and it don't matter. You can struggle all you want, but you ain't gonna go nowhere. But one of the things that you realize that you found yourself in the pit covered in rocks and the water is rising, you remembered that, you know what, I owned what I did wrong, and since I owned what I did wrong, I lifted up my heart and my hands to the Lord. I know that the Lord is gonna bless me. I know that when I call on the Lord, I ain't gotta wonder whether or not he hears me. And when I call on his name, I ain't gonna wonder whether or not he's gonna come and see about me. Since I owned it, I am now in a good relationship with the Lord. And since I am now in a good relationship with the Lord, I know the Lord's gonna come see about me. Can we go look at this? Because when you get to verse number 55, you see, whether we want to believe it or not, sometimes our actions, when we're caught in these rough spots, our actions come across like we're lost. But then I thank God that there's something inside of us that just starts to stir up in us. Starts to remind and bring back to our memory that we are not lost. We are not somebody who is in despair, because we serve a God who told me when I own what I've done, he will bring me through whatever I am going through. Do I got a witness in God's house? But you got to remind yourself. You got to know that if the Lord brought me this far, he going to take me all the way. Do I got a witness in God's house? Sometime you might find yourself between a rock and a hard place, and folks think that you might as well just go in the town and give up. But what I want you to know is, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, not yet. Because I want you to know, as long as you got breath in your body, I want you to know there's still a chance for God to make a difference. Because when you look at verse 55, it says that they called on the name. Oh Lord, the depths of the pit. So I want you to know that they were in a good place. Now, I want you to not get it twisted. Being in a good place has nothing to do with your physical address. Being in a good place has nothing to do with to where you are physically are. Being in a good place has nothing to do with anything external. It has everything to do with everything that is inside of you. You see, it's not your physical address. It's your spiritual address. Are you connected with God? Do you have a timeline to God? Do you understand that when you call on the name of the Lord, you know he's going to hear you? Because when you gave it all to the Lord and you own what you've done, you realize that you are now connected with the one who is in charge of the entire universe. You are connected with the one who created us from the dust of the earth. You are connected to the one who woke us up this morning. You are connected with the one who allows the sun to shine in your life. You are connected with the one who keeps you in your right mind. You are connected to the one who watches over you from danger seen and unseen. You are connected to the one who saw you as a something when you wasn't a nothing. I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, you're connected. So your good place has nothing to do with where you are physically. Because the Bible tells us in verse 55, we called on the name of the Lord while they were where? You know, and then some, because where they were, Brother Walter didn't appear to be a good place. But it's a place where it seemed like everything was about to end then. But what you got to understand is that wherever you are with the Lord, and you know that the Lord is with you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what is going on, you realize that I am in a... Because wherever I am and the Lord is with me, I know that the Lord's got my back, my front, my top, my bottom, my left, my right. No matter what's going on around me, when I call on the name of the Lord, he's going to come see about me. He's going to bless me. He's going to make a way for me. I tell you, our God is just good like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody been through anything? Anybody hurting through some stuff? I want you to understand, you got to remind yourself that I am in all. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you know how good God has been to you, when you know the grace and mercy God has shown you, when you know you should have been snuffed up out of here, but God has continued to allow you to be here, I want you to know that you are in a... And since you are in a good place, how in the world are you going to allow a physical place to make a difference on who God is in your life? Are you working with me? You see, what we got to see here is this. When you are in a good place and you call on the name of the Lord, even if you find yourself in your own pit, I want you to know, you can just say to this like he did here in verse 56, do not close your ear to my cry for help. Lord, give me relief. Can't some of us in here have, wouldn't we like to have some relief? Wouldn't we enjoy some relief? Right now we're saying, Lord, when that relief coming? Because I know I'm dealing with a whole bunch of stuff right now. I would love to have some relief right now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody dealing with something you know that you could, Lord, can you send the relief like right now? If I blink and tap my hand, clap my hands and tap my foot, can I get that relief right now? Because what I'm feeling like is I'm in the bottom of the pit. I'm covered with a whole bunch of stones. It seems like the water is about to rise. But Lord, I know you hear me. So even if I don't have the relief right now, I know it is on the way. Because I have owned what I've done, and since I own what I'm done, I got a good relationship with you, which tells me I am in a good place. And since I am in a good place, Lord, I don't have to wonder whether you're going to come and see about me. I don't have to wonder whether you hear about what I'm going on in my life, because I know you're going to bring me through it. So Lord, I thank you. You see, I think some of the biggest problems we have in church is that we always wait for God to do it and then we won't shout. More often, I tell you, we have a whole lot of Christians that just want to wait and see, then thank God. What we got to learn how to do is thank God while we're still in the pit. We got to thank God while we're covered in the stones. We got to thank God while the water is rising. You see, because God wants to know, I understand your call on me. And then since you said you own what you're going through, do you trust me with what's going on? Can you have enough faith to thank me before you get the blessing? Can you have enough faith to trust me before you see what I'm about to do? Can you have enough faith in me to know that I am going to bring you through? Can you have enough faith in me to say no weapon formed against yourself prosper? Can you have enough faith in me to believe it's already done, even when you don't see it? Do I got some faith that can thank and praise God and have enough faith to believe what God's going to do before it even happens? I tell you, God is looking for some faithful folk. Do I got some faithful folk in here who love the Lord, who know God's been good to you, who knows he's going to make a way for you? Do you have some faithful folk in God's house? God wants to send some relief, but what he wants to know, do you have enough faith in him to believe the relief is already? You see, my brothers and sisters, as I look at this scripture, the one thing that it brings to mind, because he says it in verse number 57, you came near when I called on you, and you said, and God said, what did God say, y'all? Do not fear. You see, my brothers and sisters, you know why you ain't got to fear? You see, sister Fee, because you made a decision to own it. Yes. Since you made the decision to own it, and you're now in a good place, God's going to come and see about you. And when God comes to see about you, God is saying to you, you ain't got to have no fear. I know sometimes when we go through some stuff, don't we get shook up by some of the stuff we go through? Don't it sometimes get to us a little bit? But when you call on the name of the Lord, I want you to know, Deacon Booth, the Lord's going to say, do not have fear, because I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I brought you too far to give up on you now. I want you to know, you ain't gave up on me. You ain't got to dare ever wonder if I'm going to give up on you, because I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if I started out loving you, I'm going to continue to love you, and I ain't going to ever stop loving you. Some of us know what it's like for somebody to say they love you today and hate you tomorrow. But I'm talking about our God. Once God says he loves you, as they say in the country, you can put your foot on that. Because I want you to know that God ain't going to ever change his way or his mind about how he feels about you, because God loves you. All right, now here we go. Let's go on and wrap this thing up, and I want us to see it, how it's going to work out. Okay? Since God heard us, and God said, do not fear, he says in verse 58, it says, you have taken up my cause, O Lord, and you have redeemed my life. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you are in a good place with the Lord, it doesn't matter what hell come at you. When you are in a good place with the Lord, I want you to understand that the Lord will make a way out of no way. When you are in a good place with the Lord, I want you to know that the enemy ain't happy that you are in that good place, because he understands by you being in that good place, no matter what he throw at you, no matter what he say about you, it ain't gonna matter, because you are in a good place, because you understand that the Lord has blessed me. Said, he blessed me through this, he blessed me through that, and then every time I turn around, he just keeps on blessing me. So that's how come I know I am in a good place. And since I am in this good place, I am not going to get up off this good place. And the reason why I'm here is because the Lord has planted me here. And since the Lord has planted me here, Sister Davis, I ain't going to move from where God has placed me, because he has been mighty good to me. He has brought me a mighty long way. Do I got a witness in God's house? Has God brought you to a good place? And since he brought you to that good place, I want you to know, don't you dare move from where you are, because God is going to bless you. And I want you to know, all the enemy is trying to get you to do is move left, move right. But what I'm here to tell you today, you better stay in that good place, because our God is the good God, and he's going to bring you through the whatever's in your life. And I want you to know, since you are in that good place, no matter where you physically find yourself, I know the Lord will make a way. what I'm talking about. It's all because I am in a good place. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to praise God. He brought me too far for me to turn back now. Do I got new witnesses in God? It's all because I made a decision to own my role. It put me back in a
good place.
You see, since we are in a good place, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay with pastor. You know, since we are in a good place, I want you to understand something. The enemy is going to try to get you off your good place. Can I show you what I'm talking about? Well, then my mind drifts over to Peter. I remember when Peter was on the boat, because Jesus told Peter and the 12 and the other 11 disciples to get on the boat and go on to the other side of the lake. And as they were traveling on the other side of the lake, Brother Walter was doing the third watch, which means it was early in the morning. And while it was early in the morning, Jesus came up out the mountain, and Jesus was walking on the water. And when they saw Jesus from a distance, don't you know some of them got scared, screamed and hollered, said it's a ghost with all the stuff that they've been through. But when Peter looked, he said, that looked like Jesus, not no ghost. And he said, Lord, and if it is thee, bid me to come to you. And don't you know what God said to him? Jesus said to him, come. You see, now at this point, I want you to know that Peter was in a And since Peter was in a good place, don't you know Peter stepped up out that boat? The other disciples looked at him like he was crazy. But Peter said, I ain't got time to talk to y'all because I am in a
good place.
And since he was in that good place, Peter got out that boat and he began to walk on water. And don't you know he was walking on water while he was in a
good place.
But I want you to know when the enemy sees that you are in a he's going to try to do everything that he can to move you left and move you right. So what he did was he started the wind to blow a little hotter. All of a sudden the water started hitting up against Peter. And when all this started happening, Peter stopped looking at Jesus. Because while he was looking at Jesus, he was in a
good place.
But when he took his eye off Jesus and started looking around him, y'all, he began to sink. But he had enough good sense to not say that I'm lost. But you know what he did? He said, Lord, save me. And before he knew it, Jesus grabbed him by the hand, lifted him out the water, and now Peter is back in a
good place.
And don't you know the both of them, they won't know the two of them did, y'all. They walk on water back to the boat. But wait a minute, y'all don't believe me. Come here, Joseph, talk to me. Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob. At 17, he was an arrogant little such and such, wasn't he? Telling his brothers, I had a dream, y'all, and y'all bow down to me. Yeah, I'm all that. I'm going to be all that. Then he had that same dream, and then it included his parents, all bowing down to him. And they knew he was his father's favorite. And don't you know his brothers didn't like him? Because his brothers were not in a, and Joseph wasn't in a. And don't you know that what happened was they put Joseph in a pit. And once they put him in that pit, don't you know that they were planning to kill him? But Reuben said, nah, we can't kill him. He's one of us. So what did he do? He sold him into slavery. We couldn't kill him because he one of us, but he sold him into slavery. You see, I want you to understand that sometimes before God can lift us up, God's got to take us down. You see, because when we are too high on ourselves, God's got to take us down. You know what I tell you? I've been there. It don't feel good, y'all. Oh, Lord, he done said that about himself. Sure enough, I've been there. It don't feel good. You see, because I realized that the Lord had to take me down before he was ever going to. Because what the Lord wanted you and I to both understand, no matter where you find yourself, as long as you remain connected with me, you are in a. And sometimes we can't learn it until we go
down.
You see, and then once the Lord took me down, and once I went down there and realized I couldn't get out by myself, that I had to have the help of the Lord to bring me up out of my stuff, then I realized that in order for me to make it, I got to be in a what kind of place? And that's where I found and stayed with God. And I said, Lord, I ain't going to go left. I ain't going to go right. I'm going to stay right there with you. And that's what happened to Joseph. Joseph had to go down. And once he came up out that pit, that brother's relationship with God grew. When he ended up in Potiphar's house as a slave, don't you know that he might have been a slave, but he was in a... You see, because it's not about your physical location. It's about your spiritual location. His spiritual address was tight and right with God. So it doesn't matter where you physically are. And while he was there, he was flourishing as a slave. But we know about what Potiphar's wife did. We ain't got time, but y'all know what happened. She lied on him. Potiphar didn't believe, because if Potiphar believed her, he'd have killed him. So Potiphar said, yeah, I know how she is. Let me just go on and get him, throw him into prison. And now while he was in prison, his physical location changed, but his spiritual location was still in a... And while he was still in that good place, don't you know he was blessing and being the best that he could? Because he said, Lord, the only reason why I am still here is because you are blessing me. I might not have the best location, physical location, but I got the best internal location, because spiritually I am in a... And then don't we know about the cupbearer and the baker came to him telling him about the dreams? And we know that based on their dreams, we see the baker got killed in 3 days. The cupbearer was restored back into his position. And he said to the cupbearer, bro, remember what I did. And the cupbearer said, yeah, bro, I remember you. But don't you know he stayed down there in that place, which wasn't a good place. But still, Joseph was in a... Because he said, if the Lord brought me this far, the Lord's not going to turn his back on me now. And don't you know, he stayed there, and finally Pharaoh had a dream, and then all of a sudden the cupbearer remembered, told him about Joseph. Joseph told the dream. Joseph was brought up out the pit. I mean, from the pit to prison. Now he's in the palace. I want you to understand something. God's got to take you down in order to bring you up. Because when God brings you up, you realize you didn't get up there all by yourself. It's through God's grace and mercy that the Lord brought you up. And then not just bring him up, but brought his family up out of where they were in the famine and brought them to him. And don't you know, Reverend Rose, the brothers got scared after daddy died, but what Joseph said, what you meant for evil, God meant it. Which means that Joseph was only able to say that because he was in a good place.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Come here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What you know about this? They'll tell you about how they were in captivity in Babylon. They will tell you why they were there in Babylon and in captivity. That King Nebuchadnezzar had built a golden statue over 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, and everybody's supposed to go on and worship him. But don't you know that those three brothers said, I don't care where I am. My physical location might have changed, but my spiritual address is still the same. I am in a... So they would not dare bow down to that statue. And don't you know, when they dragged them to King Nebuchadnezzar, don't you know the king said, I'm going to give you one more shot. If you bow down as they get ready to play, I want you to know that all the stuff that happened in the past is in the past. That means that you're now on board. And he's going to go on and motion to the choir, to the band, and start playing. He said, they said, no, excuse me, king, you ain't got to tell that band to do nothing. Because I want you to know they can play till now, until hell freezes over. But I want you to understand, we ain't going to bow down to your graven image. I want you to know the God whom we serve is able. He's able to save us through the fire, or he's going to save us from the fire. But it don't matter, we ain't going to bow down to you, because we are in a... You see, when you are in a good place, you don't care about what other folks say around you. You don't care how other folks try to push you left and right. You ain't going those directions, because you know that you are in a... And you know that you're there because the Lord had brought you a mighty long way. Don't you know that the King Nebuchadnezzar got so mad, he told them to heat up the furnace 7 times hotter. They heated up 7 times hotter. The dudes that were to go to throw them in the furnace got killed while they were throwing them in the furnace. But don't you know, when they went into the furnace, the king started wondering. He didn't hear no screaming, no hollering. He looked at the top and he looked inside and he said, wait a minute, didn't we throw 3 folk in there? Yeah. He said, I'm encampment, what I see is fearful. And one is like the presence of God. I want you to know that the world might try to throw you in the fire. It don't matter what they try to do to you. Because wherever you are in a... Because wherever you go, who's with you? The Lord. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I can go on more, but I ain't going to go on no more. But I want you to understand something today. I want you to realize today that life sometimes going to seem like it's getting the best of you. But don't you dare let it think it's got the best of you, because you are in a
good place.
I know stuff might be going on all around you, home, work, job. I mean, wherever you find yourself, something is going on. But you know that the Lord has brought you this far. He's going to take you all the way. So I know I am in a
good place.
And since I am in a good place, I want you to check this out. Check this out. Mother Austin, when folk come up in this place, this ought to be a
good place.
Because this is whose house?
Yeah.
So since this is God's house and we are God's people, we take our good place and connect with his good place. And don't you know great things happen? So tell me how we ever, why do we come up in here broken and in despair and think we can't make it? There was a time we all came that way. But once we understand who God is, once we understand that we can count on all joy when we fall through various trials and tribulations, knowing that the testing of our faith will work in patience, that the Lord is going to get us through whatever we are dealing with. So when you come up in God's house, you know that you're in a good place, because you ain't just going to the good place. You're bringing the good place with you. And once you come in God's house, that's how come we ain't got to wait for somebody to tell us how good God is. We ain't got to wait for somebody to tell us it's okay to praise God. We ain't got to wait for somebody to tell us you can clap your hands down. We ain't got to wait for somebody to tell us I can ride somebody's feet and shout hallelujah, because I understand that I am already in a good place, connected with a good place. And then it says in the Bible, let everything that have breath, what? Praise the Lord. Why can I praise the Lord? Because I am in a
good place.
And since I am in a good place, I know what to do when I'm in my good place. I might go through some trials and tribulations. I might have some bumps along the road. But sister boy, because I want you to know that I am in a
good place.
Do you really know that you are in a good place? How am I going to be in a good place with the hell I'm going through? Might have marital problems, might have churn problems, might have work problems, might have financial problems, might have health problems, might have this problem, that problem. How can I be in a good place? Because God is good. And he's good when?
All the time.
So since we serve a God who is good and he's good all the time, you see, my brothers and my sisters, if you ever get caught up on the external and don't focus on the internal, then you're going to be frustrated. Yeah, your hair going to start falling out. Yeah, you just wish it would fall, turn gray. But I want you to know that when you start focusing on the stuff going on around you, it's going to stress you out. Pressure going to go up. This going to happen. That going to happen. But what you got to realize is that you serve a good God, and that if he brought you this far, he's going to take you all the way. No matter what folk try to bring against you, you got to continue to look to the Lord and say, Lord, you are bigger than whatever I am dealing with. So no matter what, I'm going to say hallelujah anyhow. Why? Because I am in a so I know that I serve a good God and I am in a good place. I want you to know somebody right now needs to go on and just release it right now. Go on and just rise to your feet. Go on and give God some praise. Let your stuff know I am in a good place, because I have been blessed on the inside out. I ain't going to wait for something good to happen on the outside. I'm going to praise God for what he's doing to me on the
inside.
Because I am in a
good place.
Let us all rise to our feet, because if I don't, I'm going to keep going. Let us all rise to our feet. I want you to know today, my brother, I want you to know today, my sister, God's got a good place for you. And it starts within you. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. John is letting us know that we are in a
good place.
And where's that good place? On the inside. And who put it there? Jesus. And now that we have the Lord in our lives, what can beat us? What can break us? What can turn us around? What can make us drop our head? What can tell us that we're lost? What can make us move away from God? I want you to know that Paul said it best. He said neither death nor life, and he gave a whole bunch of things, will separate us from the love of God. God has been way too good to me. There's no way I'm going to go and praise anything else. There's no reason for me to go and worship anything else, trust anything else, because Lord, I made it this far only because you blessed me. And Lord, and I don't care what else happens, I know you're going to continue to bless me, because I want you to know, I want everybody in here to take a deep breath. God just blessed you. Do you get it? Can you hear me? God just blessed you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's just a blessing to rise to your feet. To hear, to see, to walk, to talk. So you got to understand and know that you are in a good